Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
So we are back today with our Seeking Sister Wives coverage. We're going to be covering season 5, episode 3. And I wrote the title down, Seeking Something Real. Dun, dun, dun. But before we get into the show, we do want to promote a few things. We want to promote our Patreon, which we just announced and released last week, last Wednesday, the 20th. Very exciting.
Thank Yay! You for those of you who have already joined. I was, you know, you do something like this and you put it out there and you're like, well, I don't know. And it's like, oh my gosh, people are joining.
They like us. They really, really like us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Already joined. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Thinking of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We have lots of different ideas. So right now we just have one tier. If you're interested, it's an $8 tier. With that tier, you'll get a bonus episode from us every week of us talking about random pop culture. Last time we talked about Where in the World is Kate Middleton, and now
we know.
This week we're going to talk about it some more. And now we know, and we're going to talk about that. You'll also get a monthly true crime documentary coverage, where we're really going to get into the themes of, both, you know, therapeutic, psychological themes and legal themes. And, then as a part of our Patreon, you can ask us questions. So once a month, we will gather together all these questions, whether they're psychological therapeutic questions or their legal questions. We will do the best that we can to answer them, and we'll do that as one show. But you can only, the only people that can ask the questions right now are the Patreon members. So yeah, I think that's it.
Well, is that, and yeah, and yeah. If you can also support us just by subscribing.
Yes.
Please subscribe if you haven't already, and also leaving us a 5-star review also helps promote the podcast. So many different ways to support us, and we appreciate all of your support. We really do.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So we did it. We're going to recap the show. Let's see. So where should we begin? Because we met one new family.
Yeah.
And then we didn't see one family, though. The Sula. Oh. Yeah, they're still eating those green beans.
They're still at the kitchen
table. Trying to convince the mom not to.
And, yeah. You know, bickering with mom. Yeah, I don't know about that family. I don't know how far they're going to go on this show.
Yeah, I wonder if the editors are like, God, the producers are like, God, these people are boring. I don't know. I don't know how much of this dinner footage we have, you know? Maybe nothing else happens. But anyway.
We could start with the Merrifields.
Yeah, because that's where we started. So.
Yeah.
Ladies, grab your tank tops. Ladies and gentlemen, grab your tank tops. It's time for the Merrifields. And boy, this was an interesting one.
It was. You know, this the new the new potential sister wife is very different from Roberta.
Yeah.
This is a very different dynamic. And so, well, they got there.
Yes.
Natalia and her mom got to Cancun.
Yeah. So the story was a miracle happened that an IT guy got her and her mom, like they jumped 500 people. I am so confused about this. This does not make sense.
Well, okay. This is what I think it is. Like I said last week, I think they had to do some sort of online registration, you know, to get into Mexico or, you know. But they didn't do it before they left. And apparently 500 other people didn't either.
Mm.
And so there was like this backlog of people trying to register. And there was no way they were going to be able to do it. And so someone came along, and I don't know, with a laptop. And I'm sure you had to pay the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got them registered so they could get on the flight. That's just my guess.
Okay.
But it, you know, yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it was just something to make it very dramatic. Not sure.
Yeah. I feel like someone just got a computer and just registered them and made it seem like it was a much bigger deal. Like, I really don't think it was that dramatic. I think they made it dramatic. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if, I don't know if the show was trying to do it or if Danielle is doing it. It just, there's a lot of like, she seems to like the drama a little bit. Like, oh God, she can't come. What's happening? You
what
know,
what are we going to do? Oh my God, it's happening again.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They are very dramatic.
Oh so, boy. Anyway.
Yeah. They go to the airport to pick them up. And Danielle sees Natalia and she says, she's here. She's so tiny. And remember, you didn't watch the last
one. No.
So I forget how this came about, but somehow Garrick was calling Danielle large wife and Berta small wife.
Oh, great.
I can't remember how that started, but that became kind of a running thing. So I'm like, well, Danielle, I don't know. The girl is tiny because she's 26. You know, she's tiny. She's like, she looks like a child.
Yeah, but also Danielle's not a big person by any means. I mean, she's tall, but
yeah,
like, but she's not that tall. The whole thing's very strange that, you know, these two, Danielle is so wounded from whatever happened last time that she is just a ball of nerves. And this Garrick, I mean, he is so horned up that he is just figuring out, so what do I need to do to make it okay for me to have sex with this woman on this trip?
Right.
This is what he's trying to figure out.
As
this
soon
is the,
as possible.
Yes. As soon as possible, how do I have sex with her? What needs to happen? What do I need to do? And that's absolutely, like, do I need to put on the black tank top? Do I need to get the white tank top? What do I
need to take my shirt off?
Yes.
You know, all together. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see much chemistry between he and Natalia yet. And in fact, at the airport, Danielle hugged her longer than Garrick did. And Danielle was fawning over her. And Garrick was like trying to get in there. He's kind of petting her. He does this throughout the whole episode. Anytime he can, he'll just start petting her.
It's very creepy.
Her hair, and it's like, stop touching her. Like, you guys are strangers.
Yeah, it is. It's something. It is something. It is something to watch. And the whole time I'm thinking, what does Natalia's mother think?
I know.
Like, what does she think? Is she sort of like, oh, I'm enjoying Cancun? Or is she like, I got to get my daughter out of here, like blink twice? I just don't know.
Well, yeah. And Maria, that's the mom. Natalie said she brought her mom with her because she feels safer to have.
Yeah, which I understand. Yeah. I mean, she's a young girl, like going off by herself. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's crazy. It's just more of, I don't know. And then the Merrifields, they're introducing their kids to her already. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, at least make, you know, at least see if you're going to keep going with this relationship? Like, why can't your kids do something else for the day?
Yeah, they've got these teen boys who are standing there watching this Brazilian, you know, 26-year-old Brazilian girl with her thong bikini. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
And the parents are just frolicking. And I mean, Daniel and Garrick are just giddy.
Yeah. Well, Garrick's super, super giddy. He is beyond giddy. She is just so nervous. Like, she needs this to be perfect. This isn't perfect. This isn't what we expected. This isn't perfect. Is this going to go fall apart? What's going to happen? I don't know. And Garrick's just sitting there tuning her out going, if I compliment her today, and then I have a long conversation with her tomorrow
through the translator app,
then could I bang her by Thursday?
What else can I do to move this along?
Yes, yes. Let me show her my guns again. Let me get my tank top back out. Yeah, Lordy.
Now, the story of how these two met was confusing to me.
Yeah.
She's saying that she looked at his Instagram stories, but then he sent her a message and asked to follow her.
Okay. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened.
I feel like it's the other way around.
Or it could be something like she's online. She sees Garrick's stuff. She's just a person bebopping around through her life. And maybe she liked it. And he and Garrick maybe could be one of these people that's constantly going through, like, who are all the people that are liking my video? Who are the hot women? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, ooh, she's hot. I'm going to message her. Ooh, she's hot. I'm going to message her. That's what I was wondering. But I guess what content could he be putting out there that this 26-year-old woman from Brazil would be that interested in
I was just going to say, I don't think their IG algorithms really mesh or cross paths. So either Garrick was trolling young girls from Brazil, or she was she knows about Seeking Sister Wife
and yes
went to, you know, she knew about him, she seen the show or something, I don't know, and went there specifically for him. Their paths would never cross otherwise, I'm telling you.
Yeah it could be, but yeah, the story is a little, I think there's some details missing, but basically she said that she like thought he was handsome and liked them and started talking to them. And what was this whole thing about Natalie being kind of a skater girl versus a different kind of girl? I'm like, skater girl?
I don't know. They're
very talking, confused.
They're talking about, yeah, like their first impressions of her, I guess. And Danielle says, was it Danielle that said it? So that she looks at her vibe as a skater girl. And it's like, what? Excuse me? She just had on like a black, you know, pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Yeah, it was. But then we hear from Garrick because we then see from the hotel, they then decided to rent a villa. So these people do have money because that's a good looking villa, right? Well, in Cancun.
Unless the show's paying for it.
I guess that's true. And so, you know, they're talking about the villa, and then Garrick is so, I'm sorry, he is so horned up. Like, he's like,
cowboy hat on.
Oh, he's got his cowboy hat on. He's like, oh, she's changed her clothes. And before she's looking kind of like a skater girl, but now she's looking very, oh, she looks so beautiful and all of his stuff. And oh my God. And I'm so excited. This is what he said. I'm so excited seeing her look so good.
Yeah.
That creeped me out to no end. That felt like a man looking at, ooh, look at all these delicious desserts. Mm. You know, ooh, where should I begin? What should I start? You know, like a buffet. And it's gross.
It is.
You've not barely talked to this woman. She just got here and changed her clothes.
Everything about her that has been said so far has been about her appearance.
That's true.
About anything else.
Who she is as a human being. Yeah.
And the mother, we haven't even heard a peep out of her mouth. They're not even...
Yeah.
To get to know her, I don't think. That was creepy.
And then there was something about like, well, there'll be no hanky panky before a proposal and commitment for life. And it's this weird dynamic between Garrick and Danielle, right? Where you're watching the two of them in this. You are right. you can't look down. You have to be looking at the screen at all times. This is a pro tip for everybody that forgave me last time, which is stop looking down because you have to look at everyone's faces. Yeah. And this weird dynamic between the two of them where Danielle's sort of like, okay, I'm going to get to know. I'm trying to be easy breezy here. I'm trying to be nice. Right. I'm trying to be like a good wife. And this is what God's plan is. And oh, here we go. And then he the whole time is just, again, right? Like, yeah, when can I put this ring on her so I can get to what I want to do here?
Yeah, you know? Like they're going to make... I don't know how long this trip is, but you know, yeah, you're going to decide to make a commitment for life to someone you just met in the next week. The whole thing is bananas.
Yeah. It honestly, this whole thing is about Garrick being able to just have go on bang trips.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This is what he wants. He wants to go on bang trips and the fetishes. He wants his wife to be a part of it and his kids, and he wants all of us to watch.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. And like we said last week, he doesn't want just any, you know, Brazilian woman. He wants a Brazilian woman from Brazil who's not going to, you know, question him or, you know, who's just going to be fine with all of this. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So Natalie says she's unsure about this. It's weird to be in person and seeing these people in person, which I'm sure it is. She's never been in this kind of relationship before. And then they show them they're all going to go to this cenote. Have you ever been to one of these cenote?
No.
And I've never been either. I guess it's sort of like one of those, what you swim, it's like swimming in the jungle, but you're down a cave. Yeah. I've never done that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how appealing it looks like. We've seen this, we've seen Cody and Mary do this on Sister Wives. Yeah. And it's just, it just feels sort of dark and I don't know. If anyone out there has been to a cenote, is it worth the time and effort to do it?
It's a little claustrophobic looking to me. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. But there's a bat and Natalia's afraid of the bat, so she's anxious. And then again, Danielle's freaking out. She's like, oh, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I wanted.
She's trying to get her to come in the water and she doesn't want to. And Danielle's insisting and she's saying, no, come in, come in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in Danielle's fantasy, they're all going to be swimming in the cenote together. And I mean, okay. I mean, it's almost like she's part of this romantic fantasy too.
Yeah. But her romantic fantasy looks different than Garrick's. Yes. And it looks different than Natalia's. They all are on different pages. But the grossest part I thought was when you have to shower before you get into the cenote. Mm-hmm. So we see Natalia showering and just the way Garrick starts talking about her, about how hot she is. I mean, she's got this thong on. You can see her. I mean, she's very beautiful. Yeah. And he says bikini. It's like a one piece with cutouts, but he's like talking about how hot she is and kind of like he goes, ooh la la. It was gross.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. She thinks Garrick is handsome.
He also said, I'd be a lucky man if she were my wife. We'd have some gorgeous kids too.
Yeah, this is making your wife feel real good here.
Yeah, then he says, I'm excited to see how we fit because I'm getting ready to propose here soon.
Mm-hmm.
You met her yesterday or maybe earlier today.
He's like, I have 5 days left. I have to get it in by the end of this 5 days.
I have to move fast.
He has to. He's got to get in there. He's only got limited time. Plus, the other thing is, and if you two do decide to hook up, where are you going to do it? Like, you're there in this villa. The villa's nice and it's big, but it's not that big. And so she's sharing a room with her mother. You're sharing a room with Danielle. And then you have your two boys that are witnessing all of this insanity.
Yeah. So either they're going to have to do it in the bed where Danielle was sleeping with him previously, or they're going to have to do it where, you know, in her mom's room.
Poor Maria's coming back to her room and there's a sock on the door. Like, not right now, Mom.
I'm sorry. I predict no banging happens on this trip.
Because, yeah, I don't think it's going to.
The mother is See, the mother is witnessing all of this. And, you know, after the day is over, they go back to their room and they talk about this shit.
Oh, yeah. And the mom is like, what is going on here?
The mom is like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? This is creepy. When can we go home?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
or just don't sleep with them until our vacation ends and then we'll just get back home or whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she and her mom really wanted to go to Cancun. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's a free trip. But yeah, so then Danielle says, I don't feel as close to Natalie as I did with Roberta. They have a different personality. And it's like, yeah, she's much younger and they're different people. And you don't know her.
Yeah, that too. How long were they dating Roberta? How long was that entire process?
Oh, God, it's hard to tell with the editing, but it was pretty long. I feel like it was probably over the span of a year or so, because they went to Mexico to see her twice.
Okay. Then
they went to Brazil to see her. Mm-hmm. So I think they saw her three times. So yeah, like about a year.
Okay. That's significant. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Natalie or it's Natalia? Or is it not? It's Natalia.
Natalia. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I didn't know. I was like, is her name Natalie? And Natalia. Right. Natalia. No, it's okay.
And there's a TH in there. So I don't know if it's Nathalia. I don't know. I can't. That's too much for me.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. That's all we see, right? There's more.
We have the translator app.
Yeah. Maybe I blanked this out. What happened?
So Natalia. I think it was it Natalia who said that she said that she couldn't. She was sorry that, you know, she was sad that she couldn't experience the cenote with them together.
Mm. Oh, and, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. And you know, and I think Danielle is very disappointed too. And she says something like, well, yeah, it's, you know, we just, it's really important that we get to know each other. And, you know, Danielle seems sad, you know, like this day didn't go as she wanted it to. And they mm-hmm. still are no closer to knowing her at all. So she's tired. She goes to bed. And then again, Danielle starts comparing the relationship to Roberta. She said, by this time, we felt like we'd known each other our whole lives. Really? On the first day you met her in person, you felt? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it also seems like Natalia kind of seems to have a problem with Danielle. I don't know if she's really digging Danielle.
Yeah, but I also feel like, you know, she just met you all. She just met you all. This is day one. She didn't. Maybe the cenote was not for her. She doesn't like bats. Natalia wasn't making a big deal out of it. Like, she was very much in this place of stay here. I'll sit over here or I'll go up. And so it's very control. Both of these people are very controlling, very, very controlling people. And so because she's not fawning all over the two of you, because she's not, you know, oh my God, I love you both so much. You're not connected to her. I feel like Natalia has been pretty natural. Yeah. You know, she's responding exactly how someone would respond, which is like, I'm getting to know you. I'm going to be pleasant. It's nice to see you. I'm sorry that didn't work out. Let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. No, Danielle's delusional. Okay. So next, should we save the Davis family for last? Let's get some of these other kind of.
But I didn't even think the Davis. Yeah, we can. The Davis family stuff wasn't even that. We didn't learn anything, but okay.
Well, yeah, there was a little drama though, for sure.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do the Sherwood family? That's Shane and.
Oh, yeah. Shane and Ashley. Sure.
Basically, Grace is out of the picture. that to sum it all up.
Yeah. Is this the episode? I get these things mixed up. Is this the episode where she calls her, or that was the last episode?
She texts her.
Texts her.
Yeah. At the end of the episode is, yeah.
Okay.
This episode.
But first, Shane's friend comes over.
Yeah. Who he met at a competitive beer pong tournament.
Yeah.
And he met Ashley at a axe throwing tournament.
A professional.
Yes, professional. So
how do you become
Shane,
a professional bong, beer pong?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's just so funny. It's like, boy, Shane really, all the alternative sports, you know, he's really in there.
It's very competitive.
And competing. And he's so got, and his personality is so far away from someone I would think to be a competitive axe thrower or beer pong champion.
Yeah.
So
who knew?
But we hear from Shane. He tells Rachel, you know, that Grace didn't really want to meet him to begin with. And then when they finally did meet, it didn't go well. And, you know, basically Rachel's just, she's hearing one side of the story. So she's, you know, just basically agreeing with everything Shane's saying and saying, well, that doesn't sound good. And sounds like Grace disrespected you. And Shane goes into this whole thing about seeing red flags with Grace and, you know, and the big thing for him is though, is he's annoyed that, that Ashley didn't immediately say, okay, she, Grace is out. Like Ashley wanted 24 hours to think about it. And he seemed pretty perturbed that she didn't, you know, she didn't process things as quickly as he does. I don't know.
Well, but I don't know about this too. In his defense, he said to her, there is no way that I'm, you know, gonna be in a relationship with this person in any way. And if that's how he feels, then what choice does she have but to break up with her?
Yeah.
Like, why does she need to think about it?
Yeah. Which tells you a lot about their relationship.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is, and the fact that he is hurt, that her instinct isn't to just jump in and defend him or jump in and say, yes, we agreed upon this. I mean, Ashley eventually gets to that same place, but I don't know. I think that Ashley doesn't want Shane to be able to make the decision. I think that she wants to make the decision. Right. And that it bugs her that he's now saying, no, I don't like her. And no, you've got to break up with her. I think that she needed to like decide for herself, I don't want to be with her. But that's a bit of a problem. Mm. I mean, this is going to come back to bite them in the butt. And we see the scenes from next week. Like, despite the fact that she's pregnant and this baby's coming, she just keeps dating.
Yeah.
Ashley, new woman, found a new woman. And this woman seems even more they're into each other. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. God, I'm starting to feel really sorry for Shane.
I feel very sorry for Shane. I really feel like Shane was talked into all this. I really do. I think he was talked into it. I think, yeah. I don't know. I think that he's thinking to himself like, ooh, I'm part of this alternative lifestyle. Look at me, you know, look how interesting I am. And I think that he likes it in theory, but I don't think he wants it.
I don't think he likes it at all. I just think he doesn't want to lose his wife and his children.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know. This was really not right of her. You know, she said she had feelings that maybe she was bisexual like in 2021.
Before they got married. Yeah. Or around the time they got married.
Yeah. It's a long time ago. If she felt that way, maybe she should have at the very least held off on having children until she knew she really wanted to. So stay with him, because that's not fair to expect a man to just accept that. If that's not Shane never wanted to be part of a relationship like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I don't like that.
I also wonder if. I don't know. I also wonder if. How much this is about. Ashley being bisexual and wanting to bring someone in versus Ashley wanting to have some control or power or even like this is her response to being married. Mm-hmm. I get this feeling like she doesn't want any of it. I don't know.
Maybe
I get the vibe that she's a bit detached.
Yeah, it's like, well, she's very detached. And it's just kind of like, okay, I'll get married, but I'm going to find a way to basically, you know, be unconventional and do what I want to do.
Yeah. And I think that she thought about these things after the fact. I think she got into the marriage and was like, I don't know if I like this, or I don't know if this is working for me. Let me figure out a way to get everything that I want and not leave the marriage and do it this way. And that's what she's been doing. And I think that he, same thing. I don't want to lose her, so I'll just go along with this. But the whole thing seems, I just don't see these two being able to make this work long term. No. I really don't.
No, poor Shane. It's just going to kill him. It's just going to break him down.
I also thought that 5-6 dates, you break up via text. That seems pretty harsh. I mean, wouldn't you at least have a phone call with the person? Or is that okay? I mean, the text messages that they send, that Ashley sends to Grace and the one that Grace sends back, it's all very pleasant, very nice, saying all the right things. But I was like, God, you can't pick up the phone? Yeah. I don't know. No, just me.
The times are different.
Yeah, it is. I never dated during the time of text messaging. So what do I know? But and that's that. And so Grace is done and Ashley has moved on to somebody else next week.
Moving fast.
Okay. Yes.
So then we have you want to talk about the new
couple? Yeah, the Ryan family. These people are great.
They're interesting.
They are very interesting.
Yes.
Yes. So they live in Salina, Texas. And I had to look this up. So, you know, it's right outside. It's one of the fastest growing cities. And it's because it's right outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mm-hmm. And so apparently, you know, and I guess it's very geographically the way it's located. It's like a good spot. And, you know, the average home price in that town is $600,000. I was very surprised for Texas. I was like, oh, that's much higher than I thought. So this Salina place is very hip and happening.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So FYI, if someone's thinking about moving.
Well, home prices aren't the only factor in moving somewhere.
Yes, but it's very, and I guess apparently this town was part of some project where they were giving everybody high speed cable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you get high speed cable or high speed internet or something.
Yeah.
And if you're very close to a freeway, I think it's that too, or a highway or something.
And if you want to date Becky and Justin,
they're
looking.
Yes. Yes. I mean, boy, Justin is just, wow, Mr. Personality.
He is just, I don't know how to describe, I'm not trying to be mean, but he's just so dopey looking.
Yeah.
He just looks like, okay, well, what should I do? Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. Okay. Okie dokie.
Yeah. Hey, diddly do there. Becky. Yeah, first off, he's got no game. No game. Do you like to work out?
And he asks her, do you think I still have got game? That's what he asked before they go out on their date. And no, Justin.
No, nobody. Justin, you are. And I get the vibe that Becky is probably the only person that really thinks Justin's awesome. Do you know what I mean? Because the way she describes him, the way she describes Justin, like Becky is just like, you know, I loved him and I thought he was so great and she was pursuing him and let's date. And then he seemed to be so like, okay, fine. You know, all right.
In high school, they got married when she was 16, he was 19. So that means that at about the age of 15 or 16, she just started pursuing this guy who was out
18. Yeah.
And convinced him to marry her. And he just kind of went, okay.
And, yeah.
Well, but they have like a polygamy background.
Yes, she does for sure.
She does. And is it both of them or just her?
We didn't hear much about him.
She said it was normal where they lived. And their church believed in polygamy. And her dad was a pastor and had multiple wives.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like polygamy. I mean, this is like, what is this? Is this UB? Like, I don't mean, where are they from? Maybe they're not originally from Texas.
Maybe. But yeah, she very much grew up in polygamy. And right, again, the dad found some scriptures that supported it.
Right.
And then, of course, very telling, she was like, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, I didn't see my dad so much anymore once he started taking other wives. But, and you know, my mom's kind of a loner. So, which is code for saying, dad was never around anymore because he had all these wives. Mom hated it. But the good thing is, as everyone kept telling me, I have all these new brothers and sisters. So that's the party line.
Yeah.
You know? But they have six kids together. Two are out of the home. So they both look, I mean, they must have started very early because they look so young. I'm like, you have four of your six kids are out on their own.
Well, she probably started having kids right after they got married.
So 16, 17. I mean, so yeah, I guess so. And I mean, all these kids are that close in age and just like, oof, okay. But she's always wanted to be a sister wife. And they seem to really, again, I think this is, Becky really wants this. And I don't know about Justin. I don't know what Justin wants. I think Justin's like, okay, if I could, can I sleep with other women? Maybe this might be good for me. I don't know. You know,
he seems very indifferent. And he made a comment that he said polygamy is more than just extra sex partners. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he wants to put that out there. Like, he's not just trying to have, I don't know, but they did have a girlfriend or a potential other sister wife. I guess that's the right way to say it. Stephanie.
Yes.
But she left.
Well, but Stephanie lives somewhere else.
Well, she does this again, I guess. Or she's done it before. Mm-hmm. Like 9 months ago, she agreed to be a sister wife and then she changed her mind and has kind of ghosted them for a month.
Yeah.
And they don't know if she's going to come back or not.
Because she's worried about how she will be viewed by her family or by whomever.
Psych Legal Pop will be right back after these messages.
Are you feeling lost or uncertain about your future? It's time to discover the true you. This is Tess Brigham from Psych Legal Pop podcast, and I want to tell you about my book, True You. In True You, I delve into the six key issues we all face during our quarter life crises. From career dilemmas to relationship struggles, this book provides simple tools and techniques to navigate each challenge. True You is your roadmap to personal growth. Even if you're not experiencing a quarter life crisis, True You will help you get to know yourself on a deeper level. If you're ready to unlock your true potential and create a life you love, pick up your copy of True You today. You can find more information on my website, www.tessbrigham.com, or it's available to purchase at Amazon.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the next time we see Becky and Justin, they decide, okay, let's go to a bar and let's start hitting on women. This is the solution to our problems.
Well, before that, we have to discuss her nightstand.
Oh, okay.
Did you see this?
I think when I was watching him put on socks, I was looking at the nightstand. I was like, there's a lot of crap on there, but that's all I thought. And then, well, I moved on.
I don't know. It struck me. Yeah. They're getting ready to go out to look for a sister wife, and they're in their bedroom, and the nightstand, and you could see it also too on the dresser, there was not an inch of space that was not covered.
Mm-hmm.
With, I don't know what, I was trying to zoom in and see what was on there. The only thing I could make out was there was a Stanley cup.
Yes, I noticed that. I was like, oh, she's got a Stanley cup.
Yeah, and then it was just a bunch of bottles of, I don't know, like potions and lotions and pills and stuff. I don't know what it was, but it was literally like you couldn't put another thing down there.
Mm.
And it's just like, that's weird.
You think that's weird?
Yeah.
For someone to have a very full...
Yes. I think that's strange. Like,
and what do you think that's saying to us about her, about Becky? Is it Becky's side or is it Justin's side?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. It just jumped out at me. It just bothered me.
Mm.
But apparently it didn't bother you. So
no, I noticed. I was like, God, they're, I was just like, are they hoarders? Are they very messy? I noticed it, but I was too caught up in, is he going to wear shorts to a bar to meet women? Like, you can't even put on long pants. That's what I was thinking about. Like, what are you, that's what you're going to wear?
Oh, okay. So anyway, moving on.
Yes.
They go out in the light of day. You
know, yes.
To a bar. Restaurant bar type place. It's like, God, it's so bright in here.
It's way too bright. Way too bright. So do you think that Desiree was a plant?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, absolutely.
You don't think it just so happened they tripped upon Desiree?
No, Desiree was a plant because she was way too like, I don't know. At first she says no, but then somehow they convince her to go on a date with them.
Yeah. Well, did you notice her? She was there with her two friends, right? Mm-hmm. The two blonde women. Mm-hmm. And the one blonde woman with the long hair.
Yeah.
The one that was from Estonia. She, when Becky comes up and says to Desiree, are you single? I want you to date my husband, or looking for someone for my husband. The blonde woman looks to the camera or to her friend and gives this look of like, you've got to be kidding me here. So her look like seemed genuinely, you know how you hear something and you're like, okay.
Oh, well, I thought the opposite. She did turn and look at her friend very quickly, but then it looked like she was unfazed. She just went back to like her drink. You know, if that were my friend, someone approached them and said that, I would have turned around and watched. What the hell is happening here? Like, you couldn't turn away. Why could you just turn away?
To give her privacy, or I don't know, to snicker and laugh or something. I don't know.
Well, but I still think it's a plant.
There's yeah. No I mean, way. She's really this Desiree is very beautiful. And it's just like, how did you find her?
Well, yeah. And while Becky is going up to the bar asking people if, you know, they'd be interested in dating her husband, Sean goes out to the car to get his business cards.
Sean? Justin.
Not Sean, Justin. Where did I get Sean from?
Yeah. Yeah. He did. Okay. I missed that part.
Yeah.
God, I'm missing a lot here.
That's what happened.
I know. I'm looking down. This That's the problem.
It's like, it's all about the details. It's
yes.
All about
yes.
the facial expressions and the little fine details. So yeah, he goes out to his car to get his business card because he knows Becky's doing her thing. You know?
Oh yeah.
She's on the hunt and he might need to give his number out. So he has to be ready.
Yes.
This woman is so like just tenacious and forward. I mean,
well, yeah, she saw Justin when she was 14, 15 and was like, he must be mine. I want him.
Yeah, what Becky wants, Becky gets.
Yeah, yeah. So we learn about Desiree that she, you know, at first she's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. I've been married. I've been divorced. I have two kids. And I just don't know if I could, you know, handle this kind of lifestyle because I would be too jealous. But she does say that Justin is a dapper gentleman.
Does that mean
hot? I mean, I was like, are you trying to be nice? Do you think he's cute or is this the best thing that you can do here?
She's being polite.
But so she says she's the director of an international ministry. And I'm like, okay. So do you think that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this
what that means?
Yeah. So are you also part of this church that Becky's grew up in? I am a little confused.
Probably one of Becky's friends from church.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then, it was just weird.
It's wacky.
It is wacky. And then Becky is asking all these questions and then she kind of like has to strong arm Justin. Justin's on the other side of the bar. Like, okay, I got to come over. And he comes over and he's like a wet blanket.
Yeah.
He basically says, oh my gosh, Becky's gone up to the hottest woman in the bar. And there's very little excitement or anything. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Do you work out? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's good. What were this other stupid questions? It was I don't know what the questions were. I think the only thing he asked was, do you work out?
Yeah, I don't remember much of what he says because it just doesn't register with me. He's just kind of there, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know. But then she says no at first, but then I can't remember. How did they convince her to agree to meet them?
I think, well, they said something to the effect of, oh, well, you know, we understand, you know, I think that because they weren't pushing it, I think they were like, oh, we understand, you know, we just want to get to know somebody. And then she eventually agreed. Honestly, I think the producer said, listen, you'll get a separate fee. If you meet them tomorrow, you'll get another paycheck
you'll
for
get
this.
An extra $100, you know?
Yeah. So just do it, yeah. You know? This guy.
But you don't want to do it at first, but then, you know, come around to the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's two separate days. We'll give you, you know, whatever SAG minimum is for each day that you're there, whatever they pay you.
Oh God, these people don't get SAG minimum. SAG minimum is like $1,200 or something. I mean, she got $100 and, you know,
a free drink,
a gift card. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she got her and her friends drinks comped and,
yeah,
that's about it.
But I have to say, I like these two. I mean, they look, they're going to be interesting.
They're interesting, that's for sure.
Very interesting. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Justin. I cannot wait to see Justin alone on a date without Becky.
Oh, God.
He's not going to be able to handle it.
No.
All right. So the last one is the Davis family.
Yes.
So we finally figure out, Where's Danielle? Well, Danielle's in her car.
Why do they have to do this in the car?
I don't know either.
So she agreed to talk to a producer. So they're in her teeny tiny car, you know. She stops and parks. Well, you guys could have gotten out or sat down somewhere. I was like, no, it's all in the car. The whole interview is in the car.
It must be a sound thing, right? Because if you leave, it's hard to sound, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it seemed like an odd thing, an odd place to do it. You know, why not interview her? Why not, you know, like a sit down interview where she can sit in a chair and not have to drive?
I guess this is all they could get from her. So,
yeah.
Like, okay. She's like, well, you can talk to me on my way to work. Get in the car.
Yeah.
So they just took it.
Well, Danielle says that so this is the part that I think is very odd. So she says, I've moved out. I've signed a lease for a new apartment. I'm like, if you see all of this as temporary, which it seems like it was, did you sign a year lease?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that seemed, when she said, I found a place and I signed a lease, I was thinking to myself, oh, you signed a lease. Like that's a big deal. Like that's a year, you know, first last security or whatever you had to pay.
You're on the hook.
Yeah. And then we find out by the end, she's no longer there.
Yeah. Two days later.
Yeah.
She agrees to return to the house. And that's what, you know, it's these kind of details that where you go, okay, this is staged.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, she would not have signed a lease if she was not very serious and clear that she did not want to be part of this relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, oh, I'm going to take a break for a little bit. A year is a long time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If you truly did sign a lease for a year, that means that you're breaking up, you want out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, you know, 2 days later, it's like, okay. And what did they do to her or say to her to get her to come back in 2 days? This is set up. I mean, but
you think it's all set up? Because the one thing that's irritating, though I didn't watch the other season, so I don't know how Danielle was before, but they're asking her the producers are asking her these questions, and Danielle's saying, well, I needed some time and space for myself. I need to figure out what I want, and which is what she said before. Okay, we all know you need time and space. What exactly is the problem? Well, it's something around I knew that they were going to bring new women in, but I didn't know but I don't know how I feel about that. This is all happening really fast.
She said she thought it would be a while, I guess.
And now she's freaking out. But is it? I would like a little more information, Danielle, a little bit more. What does that mean to you? Are you, which I understand, like you feel like I just got here. Why do we have to bring someone else in? But, you know, is it one of those things of I'd like to wait a year or two? Or is it I don't think that I can handle someone else coming in? Or does she have an issue? The other thing is, does she maybe have an issue with the fact that whomever they bring in, she'll have to marry? Mm-hmm. Does she have a problem with that? Is she worried that maybe family would have a problem mm-hmm. with that
yeah.
or how that's perceived?
Yeah, that is a legal, a very big legal step, you know.
Yeah.
That has all kinds of financial implications and everything else. Yeah.
To marry some person that you're, you know, they're already plotting your marriage to someone you haven't even met yet.
Yeah. Well, like I think I said this after the first or second episode that it just feels to me like they're dragging this out because they just want to stay on the show as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as soon as possible, as long as possible. I'm sorry. I'm just like, my words are not coming out right today. They want to stay on the show as long as possible. And so they're going to drag this out for this whole season. Then by the end of the season, Danielle will have come around. She's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm really excited. I want to do this. So then they get to come back next.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like Danielle's tears and how she feels, I thought that felt very real to me. Like that felt very real. It didn't feel like she was faking it. I don't think she's that. I mean, those tears roll down her face. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if she's that good of an actress that she could do that. So it could be a little bit of that. I mean, it's possible that they are like, yeah, we got to meet someone else new right now for the show. And now they're kind of like, oh, the new storyline isn't that we're bringing in a new wife. It's that Danielle's freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that. Yeah. But again, I understand she's saying, you know, I want to do it now before the baby gets older, before it gets stickier, before she's, you know, I think that basically what she's saying is I fear that I'm not going to want this 10 years from now. You know, the novelty of this is what I think it is. I think she's probably like, I like these people, but the novelty of this, I don't know if I want this long term.
Right.
And now there's a baby and I guess the first wife has a son and I'm in too deep.
Yeah.
And I got to get out. And so I really did not think that I knew I would see her again. But when the next time we see them, they're eating dinner, having a very uncomfortable barbecue. And she basically says, well, I moved in a couple days ago. I moved back in a couple days ago. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Just like that?
It doesn't make sense. And then that scene where the three of them are in the kitchen, you know, Danielle's back home and, you know, and they're talking about, okay, well, we're going to make this and we're going to make that. And then, you know, when we sit down to eat, then we can maybe start to talk or have a conversation about what happened. And that whole conversation to me sounded staged.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're just, I don't know. I feel like that they really, it feels like they're trying to act. Whether or not what they're saying is true or not,
mm-hmm.
like all of their scenes seem like they're acted out.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Nick and is it April and Jen? I feel like they're all on the same page and they're all acting.
Yeah.
I feel like poor Danielle is the one that's the one that's very confused and very frightened. And all of that feels very real. That part feels real. The weird conversation they were having in the kitchen, which was one of those things where, you know, there's all this tension, but you can't talk about it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide to talk about like, what are we going to serve for dinner? That felt genuinely uncomfortable. So,
yeah. And I don't know, maybe it was uncomfortable because it was just uncomfortable that Danielle had come back and they haven't talked about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm so skeptical about these people. There's just something about them that it's hard to believe anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very, I don't understand. I mean, we all know what Nick's getting from it and how it works well for Nick, but I still don't understand what these other two women are getting from this. Like why they're so dug in and why you feel this need to find someone else so badly. Like, well, why can't you be like this?
It's a pyramid scheme.
I know. I guess so. Scheme.
They got to get more, you know, women in there on the bottom of the pyramid bringing in money so Nick can thrive. And then April will be next.
I was going to say, well, April retire. Then gets, yeah. I was yeah. like, is that how it works? Like, bring in another woman. She makes as much as April does. So April's like, great. Peace out. Yeah. I'm going to sit at home with Nick and think.
Yeah, I have things to think about.
I need to think, I need to process, I need to be at home with him. And now the two, and then like, he's wearing a suit, she's wearing like a business suit too. They're both like, this is serious business. We're home with the baby and we're thinking.
Oh God. Okay. So then Nick is outside and I don't know how much grilling experience Nick has, but he looks like he poured like a half a bottle of lighter fluid onto the grill because there's a full on fire out there. Like, have you done this before?
No. He's thought about it.
He's researched it.
He's been thinking all day long when he's home with the baby, thinking about barbecuing, thinking.
Yeah.
So much thinking.
Yeah. So then they're sitting at this little table, awkwardly eating salad. Nick has got this. It's like a moon rock or something. This necklace. It's like a. Did you notice his necklace?
No, no.
That was new for.
Well, you really soak everything in. I gotta pay more attention. I'm like listening to what people are saying, and I think I'm so caught up in. I was still caught up in this. But you signed a lease.
You're still thinking about that.
What happened with the lease?
Yeah, is the landlord gonna sue you?
That's what.
Did you find a subletter?
That's honestly, I was not focused at all about the fire or Nick or the thing. I was very confused. and I was kind of waiting with bated breath because Nick asks Danielle, well, so what's up? And she gets so emotional and she starts crying and she leaves the table and that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. We don't get to find out anything?
All he did was he said, are we still genuinely interested in expanding our family? And then she just couldn't. Yeah, she couldn't speak. She became overwhelmed, walked out, locked herself in the, you know, bedroom. And that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
So
that's it.
I don't know. Did they even have any scenes from next week about them? I don't think so.
That's a good point. There were definitely scenes about, there were scenes with Ashley and there were scenes with the Merrifields.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. There were no, I don't think I remember any scenes, but maybe we could be wrong.
But the Merrifields, they show that Garrick is still on the dating site.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good. That is going to be good.
And
first,
Natalia brings it up, you know, that she's like pissed about it. And then Danielle finds out and she's really pissed about it.
But it sounds like Danielle knew because Danielle said, I told you she wouldn't be happy about this. Like, I wonder if Danielle knew, like, wait a second, we're meeting Natalia in Mexico. You're on the apps. You're still swiping. And, oh, man, but this Garrick, though, he is working it from every angle. He's working it from the apps to Instagram to where else is he doing this? He is just all over. I'm like, when do you have time to work? When do you have time to, like, you seem to have money and you seem to have quite the job here. I bet you that brother-in-law does all the work. He's so annoyed.
I think Garrick sits in the office and does things. And the brother-in-law is the one who's like out in the field, supervising everything, making sure everything gets done.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Garrick comes from money. I wonder if his family has money and that basically he's the investor, but he doesn't do much of anything else. I don't know.
No idea.
Yet another exciting episode of Seeking Sister Wives. Whew.
I was just going to say, Ace and Caitlin from, you know, Shit Talk, Sister Wives Shit Talk. They one time called the Merrifield Construction.
Oh, my gosh.
Wanted to. I don't know what they were going to do. Well, Ace called and I don't know. You know, they're just, I don't know what he expected or what he was going to say. But anyway, he calls and it's a recording. He leaves a message. No one calls him back.
Oh.
And so then the next week he calls again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, you know, yeah, I'm really interested. If someone can please call me, like, you know, I want to do this whole, you know, remodel. You know, please call me back. So then again, I think no one called him back.
Oh, well, that's not good business, no. Merrifield Construction.
Then, I can't remember. I think at some point, somebody did call him back and left a message. I don't know, but it was just funny. Like, yeah, you're wondering, is this legitimate? Because yeah, mm-hmm. if somebody, first of all, if you call a construction company in the middle of the day, someone should answer the phone.
Yes.
Okay, if they don't answer the phone and you leave a message, they should call you back immediately, like that mm-hmm. same day, you know?
Yeah.
That's what good, successful businesses would do. But
yeah, well, it also tells you there's no secretary or assistant or anyone in there or receptionist answering phones. So it's like, how small is this? Is it just the two of you? And yeah. what do you, yeah. So maybe the business is a little bit shadier than we think. I don't know.
Well,
though Sam seems like a legit person. So I don't think Sam would be into something that wasn't real.
I think Garrick is probably like a general contractor. And he gets, you know, he gets jobs and then he hires subcontractors and Sam supervises everything.
Hmm.
You know,
okay.
Garrick's the one with the license and, you know, he runs the business part of it, I guess.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. Anyway, that's episode 3, Seeking Sister Wives. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with another documentary. We're going to be covering Quiet on the Set, the new Nickelodeon documentary about the Nickelodeon shows. And again, please, if you're interested in more content from us, please come check us out on Patreon or subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, or check us out on social media at Psych Legal Pop on Instagram and TikTok. I think that's it.
Yep.
All Thank right. you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.